What's going on, everybody? This be your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 96. And I got a special guest on the show today. I got my boy Rick, aka Miami Got Jokes. How you doing, dog?
What's good, y'all, man? It's your boy Miami Got Jokes. It's your favorite Miami comedian. Y'all check me out at Miami Got Jokes on Instagram and Twitter, man.
So how you been? What's been going on?
I've been good, man. Just, you know, working, you know, trying to put this comedy grind too, you know, trying to be a boyfriend as well. So it's a lot going on my plate right now.
Yeah, man, same here. Like, well, you know, I'm married, so it's like you got to get a balance, you know what I'm saying? So it's a grind, man. But me and her, we got a podcast too, but mine's is just more like I meet way more different people and stuff. So, yeah, man. So tell us about, like, the beginnings, like, before you became a comic.
Before I became a comic, I was just, like, really just regular, man. Like, I was just, you know, just living my life, just working, you know, just doing regular stuff, you know, not really thinking about what I want to do in my future, just, you know, just basically doing, like, you know, watching everybody on Instagram and, and just, you know, playing video games and, you know, just,
it's yeah,
just
regular stuff
before I really came with the idea of being a comic.
Right.
That's how I was before, you know, I started this comedy stuff.
So what or who inspires you to become a comic?
The first person that really brought it up to me was my boy Gamma 305. That's my comedy partner.
That's what's up.
And you know, he really tried to introduce me to it, but like, you know, at the time I was like, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure if it's something that I really want to do, and you know, it's like, you know, I was really scared to jump in it.
Why? Then,
because, like, you know, it's like, damn, it's like, that's a whole new realm of, like I don't know if I'm really that funny. I don't know if I can really get on stage and, like, really look at people in the eye and try to make them laugh. Because it's different. It's a whole different monster out there.
Yeah.
And once I got in a new relationship with my girlfriend, and, you know, she told me, like, you know what, you should try stand-up comedy. And then even before that, like, when I was in school, everybody was like, yo, you should be a comedian. You should be a comedian. Mm-hmm. So my girl told me, like, you should really try this stand-up thing. And then my first show, like, she came, well, my first time getting on stage, and she came with me, and Gamma was with me. I mean, I did horrible, but it's like, she was like, you know, just keep going at it, just keep trying it, and, you know, you'll get used to it.
What, you felt like you did terrible, or, like, people booed you?
The thing with the booing, people don't boo, but it's like, they just don't laugh.
Right.
Ain't nobody gonna boo you on stage, they just not gonna laugh. The first time I did stand-up, was at House of Copper. It's in I think it's somewhere in Winton, or somewhere like Midtown.
Midtown, yeah.
Yeah, and I know I did pretty bad because nobody wasn't laughing. Nobody really wasn't laughing, and I was like shy. I was having so much trouble trying to look at the crowd. I was looking everywhere, but like the fucking people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn. And it's like, it was certain jokes I was saying. It's like, in my mind, I'm like, does this even make sense to me? So I did terrible. So when I got off stage, she was like, you know, don't worry, it happens. You know, just you got to get used to it with repetition. And from there, it just like, it just, I'm feeling more different. I'm feeling more confident. Before, I was just nervous. You know what I mean?
So when was that that stand-up event that you did that made everybody laugh and it made you, you know, get a buzz around your name?
The first show that I felt like I was like, okay, this is me, this is for me, was the very first time I performed at Brunch After Dark.
Okay, I heard about that. What is that, Broward somewhere?
It's somewhere in Broward. It's a spot, but they moved it down here to the Club Rain. But it was somewhere in, like, Hollywood. Hollywood area. And the first time I performed there, it was with Plus Daddy and one other comic. And I'm going up stage. I'm telling jokes. It was a young crowd. There was a lot of people there. And I'm telling jokes. And every joke I said was just, it was just on point. I'm like, wow. I'm like, okay, I could really get used to this. I could get used to this. And then, you know, the guy just kept inviting me. Okay, next month, I'm going to need you. Next month, you know, I'm going to need you. Okay. And then every time I got on that stage, it was like, it was just, I never disappointed. You feel me? So as I kept doing that, I'm like, okay, this is, you know, I could really work on this. If I really take this serious, I could really get to another level.
Right.
You feel me? And that's when other people started seeing me from the crowd, like, oh, I seen you at Brunch at the Dark. Oh, man, you're good or whatever. There was one time, not too long ago, like a few months ago, where the last time he booked me to go perform there, and then certain people, I came late.
Yeah.
I came late, and it was people leaving and said, oh, man, we came to see you perform, but we got to go because I came like an hour late. And she's like, we came to see you perform. I'm like, oh, damn, sorry. You feel me? So that's what it made me know, like, damn, like, okay, now I'm making a name for myself.
Yeah.
You feel me?
So is it still about, like, you know, word of mouth? You know, of course, social media.
Yeah.
But, you know, still about word of mouth and stuff like that.
Most definitely. You gotta go up there and kill. You gotta go do good. And the more good you do, like, people talk about, like, oh, man, he said this type of joke and that type of joke. Oh, man, I can't wait to see him again. And they start following on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So they check out how what you do on Instagram. And that's also a part of your, gotta be a part of your comedy.
Right. So the people that don't know, you know, you from North Miami.
Yeah.
Like, how was it growing up in North Miami? Because a lot of people, you know, especially out of towners, they don't know about our communities down here, about, you know, it's different, you know what I'm saying? So, like, how was it growing up in North Miami?
Growing up in North Miami, I mean, it was, you had to have thick skin, man.
Yeah.
You had to have thick skin because, you know, it was a lot of Haitians.
Yeah.
And that whole, like, you know, North Miami's full of Haitians. And we had a lot of pride and, you know, we wanted to let you know, like, yo, Zoe's down here run this shit. You know what I'm saying? So I went to Miami High School for like 3 years. And then that whole 3 years, it's like, you know, everybody, we were really united. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the Haitians in Miami was really united. But at the same time, it's like around that era, it's like when I went to school, like, scamming started taking place. And, you know, and then.
What year you graduated?
I graduated 2009.
Oh, so I graduated 2010. Yeah, so I remember that.
Okay, cool. So it's like, so it got to a point where it's like, once the scamming started, it's like people started separated from each other. You know what I'm saying? It's like, before it was like, oh, we all cool, everything like that. And then after that, it's like, you know, I got more money. You know what I'm saying? I can't hang with certain type of niggas, this and that. So it kind of got divided, like, towards, like, you know, 08, 09.
Yeah.
From the ever since then, it's been different. But North Miami is a real cool city, man. I love it, man. I grew up there. I've been living there for God knows for almost like 2 decades now.
Yeah.
You feel me? So that's my city, man. I love North Miami.
And then you also speak about the Haitian culture, like, growing, because you feel as though.
Oh, most definitely.
How is it in the house, you know, in the Haitian cultural house? Like, how is it?
Oh, that's tough.
Because I was raised in the Bahamian, you know, household. My old girl was. Definitely. Bahamian, so.
Dude, growing up in a Haitian household, like, the number one thing you look forward to is turning 18 years old. Once you turn 18 and you have those rights to leave the house, and I think that's why a lot of Haitian kids, like, are so ready to move on, be on their own,
right,
is because of what they've been through with their parents.
Right.
You know, because Haitian parents are very tough.
Yeah, very
their
tough.
Kids, like, you know, they're very strict and they don't understand, like, these are new times we're born in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the way, like, just island parents, period.
Yeah, period. They think that, like, you know, this back in the day, but, you know.
Yeah, it's really not. It's just
new
time. Exactly.
Yeah.
But they're not used to that. They're not hip to that. Some parents are, but they're not, the majority of them are not used to that. So with Haitian parents, they treat you how they were raised.
Right.
And that's only what they know.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole, like, you know, when after school, come straight home.
Yeah.
You know, go to church. You know, this, when you go to school, this, you're only going to be this, that, and this,
right,
that other shit, like, it's dead, it's
right,
not working. So it's like, for me to tell my mother, like, you know, maybe I might want to be a comedian in the future.
Yeah, they're going to look at you crazy.
Yeah.
Like, well, you better go to goddamn school and
exactly,
get a real job. Yeah.
But then, like, you know, it's 2019 now, we got kids getting paid just to play video games.
Yes.
We got people getting paid just to travel. So it's like so much job opportunities, but back in the day, parents couldn't, like, fathom that.
Right.
So, you know, it's different, man, but, like, now, Haitians now, like, they're starting to change. They're starting to see that. But before growing up, as I was growing up, oh, no way.
I think all parents starting to see that. Like, it's more, like, when I was talking to my mom about the podcasting, I mean, I'm growing and stuff, but then she also, asked me, like, you know, how the job search going, or like, you know, because I'm still in school, I'm going for my doctorate.
Okay.
And I was telling her, like, you know, my podcasting is just for me to network with different people, but also seeing, like, so many other people that got podcasts, they once they get to that point, they generate money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They basically live off that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
you know, it's a new day. So tell us about, like, the comedian, like, daily duties, like, as a comedian, like, what's the daily duties as far as, like, booking for shows and whatnot?
You got to promote yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with being a comedian, like, and daily duties, like, you got to promote yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be funny, like, at random.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't. Here's the thing with comedians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People always think that comedians are like the funniest people to be around. Like, we're really stressed the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We have anger problems. We're really stressed the fuck out. But you really got to just hide it and just, like, with, like, being a comedian, you kind of be, like, kind of fake.
Right.
But at the same time, like, in person, you got to be real. So what I mean by that is, like, let's say if I'm with you, right?
Yeah.
And I got to make you laugh, have to give you that vibe, like, you know what I'm saying? Damn, this dude is funny. So you always got to promote yourself as a funny dude. You know, you got to always tell yourself, look, I'm a comedian. Here's what my price, whatever, like that. You got to get that arranged. But, like, deep inside your personality, like, you really don't like being around too much people. You know what I'm saying? Because you really just, so most comedians are just like, you know, I just like to be by myself.
Right.
And, you know what I mean?
I hear that a lot. Like, they don't like to be around people.
They really don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you peep, like, a lot of comics, like, after the shows, they just leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, even the ones who's very, like, the legend, like, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
The Chris Rocks, like, you don't really see them even doing interviews like that. They more, like, somewhere got a big-ass rent somewhere, low-key with their family and stuff like that.
But, you know, as far as daily, you really got to keep promoting yourself. If you got, like, social network, you got to constantly say funny shit, post funny shit. You know, you just got to keep being funny at all times so people can see that. You know what I mean? And just, like, just really talk to. And then it's also good to network with other comedians, too.
Right.
I know a lot of comedians now than I knew before. Like, Funny Bombshell, I just knew about her since 2018. I didn't know she had even existed before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, and as me doing my research, I just started getting to know, like, other comedians and whatever like that. So you got to do your research, got to be funny, start promoting yourself, and, you know, like, just write jokes every day. That's the number one thing. Even if you don't get on stage for, like, 2-3 years, make sure you have jokes ready to go.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So do you think that social media helped or destroyed, like, the art of being a comedian, like, the art of it? Because, you know, you have some people that use social media. Like, Funny Bombshell, she's different because she's more
social media.
Yeah. But she's not like a stand-up. I'm talking about, like, you have some people like yourself that goes on stand-up, but they use social media like to step on somebody else's toes. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll do, like, more skits, but they more... They meant to be more for stand-up. You think that social media kind of killed the art, or it helped?
I'm kind of, like, torn in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, it's kind of killing the art.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as, like, it's kind of killing the art because as far as, like, you know, it's what the people want to see now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for the comics that are just stand-up comics...
Right.
You know, people are not really, like, going out to comedy shows unless you're, like, a big name.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? They're not really, like, paying these tickets, paying these $20, $30, $40 tickets to go see this guy who's making a name for himself.
Right.
You know what I mean? They rather sit at home for free, go through their Instagram, and say, okay, this is funny. I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
You know, for $0 and 0 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think it's good also because, like, it's an easy way to build your name.
Right, that's true.
That's what it's about. Like, I just did a show with B. Simone. She's an Instagram comic. You know what I mean? But she's also building her platform as a stand-up as well.
Right.
You feel me? So it's like, it's good and bad. And I'm also doing a show with Desi Banks on September 5th. He's an Instagram comic, but he's building himself as a stand-up comic. So okay. It's like, it's doing more good than bad.
Right.
It just depends on how the type of person you are. Because mm-hmm. it's not a lot of stand-up comics that fuck with that social media shit. Yeah. And I know a lot. And it's mostly old school dudes.
Yeah.
Basically.
Dudes that was born before the 80s, yeah. pretty much. Like the,
you know what I'm saying?
I call them the D-Generation S, not the millennials. You know?
Yeah, them dudes, man. They used to sell crack and said, since the crack game over, man, let me just start this stand-up comedy.
Yeah, them boy that was born in the 70s, raised in the 80s and all that, yeah. Yeah, man. Cause I like to ask that question because I think I asked her, if I'm not mistaken. But I like to ask that because for me, I got to balance it because I love to go on Instagram, you know, when I'm down. I see, like, a comedian, you know, like, say something shit funny and, like, you know, make me and my wife laugh or whomever around. But I'm also, like, you know, even though we millennials, we was raised, like, watching Martin and watching Chris Rock and Monique and all them, Cat Williams, like, I feel like we're the last generation that witnessed that, you know what I'm saying? So that's why it's like, it's always like a here and there where some people, whether just stick with the old school, some people stick with the new school, and then some people like us, we stick with both, you know?
Yeah,
so.
And what it also does is like, it makes you appreciate the stand-up comedy less.
Yeah.
Because it makes you appreciate it less, like the art, because it's like, it's very easy to go behind the, like, the Instagram and take one, take two, take three.
Right.
But as far as like going on stage and you got 5 minutes, 5, 10, 15 minutes to make someone laugh and it's live.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, I tell this joke and like, okay, nah, I messed up. Let me start over again. Nah, it's live.
It's live, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I've seen people like on Instagram that have like a million followers and go on stage and
it's a wrap.
You feel what I'm saying? But I've seen other people who got 100 followers on Instagram and just
kill
the roof off that shit. So it's like I said, it's good and bad, you know? But if you do... One thing I do appreciate about the Instagram comedians now is like the one that do have that platform, they just don't stay there. They're trying to expand. Like, okay, now I can do this. I got this much followers or whatever like that, and I got a fan base now. Let me take this to the stage now.
Right.
So it's like that's what's bringing that's what's bringing, like, you know, the money in. So it's like it's all about high supply and demand. We all know that. So now it's forcing other comics to have. Not only got to have stage presence, but you got to have social media presence to bring out a crowd. So.
Right. And it goes back to, like, social media, that part could help you even grow to one day, you know, get booked into movies and stuff like that, into TV shows, you know?
Pretty much. Because
you see all these streaming services coming up out of nowhere, so it's, like, more opportunity for people to get into that.
Yeah, most definitely.
So let's talk about your podcast that you co-host, Down Here Miami.
Yep.
Like, how was that crazy?
It's really started with my man, Gamma 305.
Mm-hmm.
He started with that. And, you know, for years, you know, he's had certain co-hosts, but it hasn't really taken off how he wanted to.
Right.
And just recently, we met two other co-hosts, Jazzy Bell and No Lackin.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are great. Like, we just got together and it just became a great group of guys that just want to work, that want to, you know, really do something with this podcast. Like, the number one thing is, like, it's hard to do something by yourself.
It is.
It's really hard to do something by yourself.
It is. That's why I always have guests on my show. I honestly tell people all the time, for me, I got me and my wife, we got Cuddle Talk.
Yeah.
That's for, like, relationship and stuff. And then for me, sports, biz, music, I just have people from different industries come on the show and stuff like that. I know for sure right now where I'm at now, I can't hold it by myself. Maybe in the future, 10 years from now, 5, 10 years from now. But for now, like, I can't really do it by myself.
Right,
you know,
man. It's hard, man. It's time consuming. And then the ideas, you got to get ideas from someone. To sit there and think about that shit by yourself,
right?
It's tough. Even, like, with my jokes, it's like, sometimes I get jokes from my girlfriend, sometimes I get jokes from someone else or whatever like that. But as far as a podcast, you know, we have four people, like, that's ready to work, that's ready to grind. And, you know, they all, like, they're all, like, a different personality. So you're not getting, like, the same type of vibe
right.
when each person talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we're on like our 7th episode right now, mm-hmm. and we're still recording. And I love it, man. You know, it inspires me to keep going, to keep like mm-hmm. keep grinding with this podcast. And we really want to take it somewhere, you know, turn it into revenue or just mm-hmm. give people advice or mm-hmm. you know, just make people laugh, make people feel good, and you know. And that's the move today. Now yeah. that the podcast is the yeah. move. You feel me?
Yeah, I can remember 10 years ago it was the YouTube. Then you had Vine. Yeah. You had Instagram, Twitter. Now you got like the podcasting, which is still new.
Yeah.
And it was still brand new. So whoever's creating the podcast right, even right now at this moment, they not left behind. Like,
exactly.
It's a growing industry. And I remember I seen something on like MSNBC or something. They were saying that podcasting like 5 to 10 years from now, the revenue that it's gonna create, not only for yourself but for anyone who you sign under, whatever, like All Heart and all that, like it's the money gonna be there for everybody. You know what I'm saying? The growth is gonna be there for everybody. You know what I'm saying? So I look at podcasts like the Joe Budden podcast, Drink Champs, like they're inspiring because they get these deals from like Spotify and Tidal and stuff like that. So just like anything is possible.
Yeah, I like Joe Budden podcast.
Yeah, too. It's real. Like it's a real like sit back and chill type vibe.
Yeah. And you know what? I like those podcasts where like the guys express how they feel. Like
yeah,
I was one thing I don't like is like when I get invited to talk on a podcast
yeah.
and I can't curse or like I gotta watch. What
oh,
I
you
said.
Can curse on who?
You know what I mean? Like, I like that because I'm yeah. being me. Like, you know, I got to watch what I say. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But I like Joe Budden podcast. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, nah, people think, with my podcast, people think that you can't curse or whatnot because of the name,
yeah.
which is cool. But I tell them all the time, you can curse whatever you want.
Yeah. Say how you feel. Man.
Yeah. So, like, what? So y'all just talk about, like, random topics? Because I'm trying to, like, I'm just starting to, like, follow the y'all podcast, so I'm gonna be following y'all too.
Okay,
especially you know I always support the local as well. So
what we're trying to do is just like we're just like trying to find a niche. So
mm-hmm.
we talk about topics. You know, we interview upcoming entrepreneurs. We interview artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we'll just you know have a random show where we're just sitting there talking shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We just want to make it as natural as possible.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and then sometimes we'll have like a segment where, you know, where women want to ask like advice on relationships mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So certain stuff like that. And then we keep it real. Like, we're not going to keep it like, you know, we're not going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to tell you what you have to hear.
Yeah.
You know, that's what people like, that's what people sometimes fail to really grasp is like, mm-hmm. this is what you need to know.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then we also do our research so that way we're not saying shit like,
that's not, yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
So you have any advices for like up and coming, like, you know, comics and like people that want to get in the media and everything? Like,
you gotta, the number one thing is with, you know, upcoming artists,
mm-hmm.
upcoming podcast people, upcoming, mm-hmm. whatever you're trying to do, you're trying to get, you mm-hmm. gotta network and put your pride to the fucking side.
Right.
Because I've seen it a lot in Miami. It's like a lot of people don't want to work with you.
Preach.
Yeah.
Preach.
If you like, even with the music, I don't mm-hmm. know if you listen to a lot of low, like, you know, upcoming artists' music, they don't have a lot of features.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, it's you even notice in our era when we was in high school, like, I mean, you seen like the Icebergs and the Bitty Blues and all, but they was in their clique. So as I got older, I started realizing like, for us Miami folk, like, you don't go outside our circle and go
exactly
do a feature with him or her or whatever, and
exactly.
it's kind of messed up. Like, you got to get out of that mentality. You feel me? We all got to get out of that. You know,
you got to, most definitely. You know,
mm-hmm.
it would be so hard to make it if you don't do that, because people don't understand. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you do a feature with this dude outside your, you know what I'm saying, outside your circle,
mm-hmm.
okay, now what you're doing is you're creating that promo circle where it's like, mm-hmm. okay, not only you're gonna promote their music and your music, he's right. gonna promote your music and his music, because you're in a collab, mm-hmm. and also with comedians too. Like, you gotta talk to people, be friendly. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know what I mean? That's the whole point of the business, the job, because you're gonna meet people where it's like you have to be friendly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And like, you want to grow that personality where like you're not kissing ass. You're just trying to, you know, talk, engage. You know what right. I'm saying? And try to like, you know, make a deal or something like that. But it's mm-hmm. just, people just want to. People just like. What I see now is like they only showing points to people that's gonna do something for them.
Right.
They're not really genuine. Ain't shit genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I understand people want to get paid. You know, people want to get paid and they got mm-hmm. bills to pay and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. You got to put that mentality where I want to do this for love. It's really no love in this shit.
Right.
A lot of people don't do this because they love it. They just do it because okay, this is a way out. This and that. This is.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't see the passion. It's not a lot of passion of like in this rap. Like I'm listening to people. Like I'm listening to certain artists.
Mm-hmm.
There's no passion in their music. You know what I'm saying? They just rap about this, some bullshit that you think is cool.
Yeah.
I listen a lot of. I watch a lot of comedians that's telling jokes. There's no passion in your shit. You feel what I'm saying? Because I can tell this is not you. That's so. I feel like my advice is put your passion in. Make sure your heart is in it. And if you're trying to do it for the money, and everybody says this.
Yeah.
If you're trying to do it for the money, you're going to fall flat.
You're
going to
fall flat. And that's why, that's why I'm on episode 96. Because I already love meeting new people and interviewing new people.
Got you, man.
And people that I get to interview, that some I grew up watching or hearing and stuff like that, or people that's in the industry that I because we all need to learn, you know what I'm saying? We don't know everything.
Yeah.
You know, so but I think when it comes to like Miami talent in general, or Miami people in general, they think that we like New York or LA or something, but I gotta remind them like we still the South. Like when I went to LA, I was like, I wanna go back home. This shit too fast for me, honestly. Like it was too like all this way and shit. I'm like, I feel like some people, they're like, well, you know, I'm from the city and stuff. You know, I'm like, no, bro. When you go to these bigger markets, you be like, damn, Miami is like, Miami is it's still the South. You know, it's still developing, you know, so.
I recently took a trip to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
so I could perform at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
And what I realized is, like, people in L.A. will really put their pride aside and work with you. Like,
yeah, but that's the funny thing about it. They're more... When I say like Miami talent think they're like New York or LA, I mean like the flashing, like, I mean, it's, Miami is beautiful down here,
exactly.
You know, with the beaches and stuff like that. But in terms of like, so I can wake up and go to a record label over there, or I can wake up and go to a radio station right down the street. We don't have that, you know what I'm saying? LA, even though LA is like Miami is more spread out. They could take 20, 30 minutes to go to Warner Brothers and stuff like that. And it's like, when you actually meet these people, they're not assholes. They actually want to work with
you. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely, man. Most definitely.
Like, you know what I mean? New York people I met that were so humble. I'm like, the outside looking in, you know, with the 50 cents and all of them, you be like, shit, these boys assholes. But they actually work with, you know, people within their city. Say, look at Atlanta. Atlanta, the reason why, like, Miami people want to be so much like Atlanta, but they can't because Atlanta got artists that be beefing with each other since they was 3 years old. But they're like, fuck it. They put their pride on the side, like you said, and they go for that money. They go for that next growth.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So we got to do that. You know, I don't care if you from North Miami or I'm from Opa-locka, or you from Homestead or... You from Broward or Palm Beach or Tampa, whatever, we got to all work together.
Exactly.
You know?
And you can see a lot of these artists are not really getting show money like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't really, it's just all, you know, most of them just out here to sell drugs or whatever like that. And
yeah.
They're making like, okay, I get this. I'm like, bro, you're not really marketing yourself how you're mm-hmm. supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Market your music. You know what I'm saying? Work with other artists.
Right.
There's too many artists out here for you to be beef with all of them. And I listen to your mixtape. And it's only you on there.
Yeah.
You
know,
and your homeboys on there.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on, man.
So who's your in your top five? Who's your like top five as far as like comedians?
already got top five, but the two guys I really like, I try to model my game after, is Corey Holcomb.
Okay.
And Deion Fuller.
Okay.
Those two guys right there, I love it. Like, Corey Holcomb is that, like, that asshole type of vibe. And it's like, with Deion Fuller, he's like smooth, like, okay, ladies, like, here's the advice I got to give you. Like, you know, like, he give, like, Corey Holcomb will give you that, okay, don't stop messing with these poor women.
Yes.
You know, like, Corey Holcomb had a joke, it's like, fellas, you gotta stop meeting women at the club. You gotta meet them at their job, at Walmart, at the cash register. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Deion Cole give that advice, like, you know, I don't like fucking with good pussy because it'll change your life. Like, shit like that. I like, I love jokes like that. So, like, I watched their stand-up, try to model my game after them. You feel me? Because that's my personality. I don't really like fucking women like that. I hate bitches, man. Like, this shit get on my nerves. But, yeah, that's my top two, man. I don't really listen to much. I used to like Dave Chappelle, but it's like, I'm not going to try to sound like Dave Chappelle on stage.
No, it's just, you know, because Dave Chappelle is one and only. Like, everybody, like, when you go, when you blow up, there's going to be comedians that are going to look at you. They'll be like, damn, man, I can't really copy him because he's a legend. Man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
He a beast, bro.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He a beast.
That's what's up, man. So, for the last question is, where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
Hopefully not at work, man. 5 to 10 years from now, hopefully, man, I'm really, like, going in on this comedy shit, and I'm really taking this podcast serious and, you know, trying to create a platform for others, you know, because I really want to help others. Like, as I grow, I really want to help others grow as well. So, 5 to 10 years, man, I just want to be, you know, I want to be on some entrepreneurship, man. You know what I mean? Basically that, man. I just want to be able to help myself and help others.
That's what's up,
you know what I'm saying? I'm not really for the, you know, the fame and all that shit. I just want to be able to be an influence on the young and upcoming guys that's trying to do comedy or entertainment. And I know that, like, my craft is at a plateau where I can say, okay, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I can make my kids proud and make my girl proud that, okay, doc, this man really took a dream and made it come true. So
just continue to open up the doors and have like a pipeline, because so much talent out here.
There's so much, man.
When they came out with this list of top 50, you know, artists from Miami Dade, shout out to D. Shum. He had a top 50 of artists from down south, and it's like, there's so many people down here, but dog, like, Miami is so big, especially when it comes to talent.
Artists like left out, and it's like, when I don't know who came up with that top 50 list. But if, like, as an artist, if you are offended that you're not on there, you know what you should do? Get on social media. Yeah, get on social media. Keep working. Put freestyles out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You see, like, one thing, like, I don't get is, like, you see artists from Philly, Atlanta, putting out freestyles every day, whatever like that. And, you know, people from Miami liking them, but artists from Miami is not doing that. You know what I'm saying? We got to wait till you drop a mixtape.
Right.
So we got to wait till you're performing at a strip club. You know what
And I always tell artists, like, get to a point, don't always settle for that. Like, for the strip club, always, all right, I conquered the office, I conquered the Tussies, or take one or whatever. Now let me go to these regular clubs, and then let me go to the festivals.
Yeah, the regular club is what... Performing at the strip club gets you completely nowhere.
Nowhere, yeah.
It does nothing. It just looks good. That's it. It's not going to get you any more bookings or nothing. First of all, they have you perform like at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, I watched, shout out to Big Chuck Show.
Mm-hmm.
He had one of the posts, I'm not sure if you've seen it. He had a post where he was interviewing a dude, a promoter from G5.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I let these guys perform at 4 o'clock in the morning because, you know, they don't bring nobody or... You know what I mean? Like, they're not bringing revenue, or they're not bringing an audience. I get that, and I understand that, but still, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, you doing these cats dirty now.
Yeah. Like, by time 4 o'clock come, shit, you may not even be that many
exactly.
people.
Exactly, nobody on there, and it's like, you know, the crowd that you're performing in front, they're not even paying attention. They laughing at you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've seen it many times. I'm on Instagram. They're laughing at you. So it's like, why do artists keep going to strip clubs to perform? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of your talent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Go somewhere like where there's plenty of open mics. There's plenty of places that you can showcase your talent where they'll pay attention and see, okay, where you can get off stage and be like, okay, this is what you did wrong. but I love you. I mm-hmm. love where you're going. Because I performed at certain places where, okay, you said this, but here's how you can say it. That's where you know what I'm saying? That way you can say it better, like make it look better. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
And the thing about Miami artists, too, is like, me live in Florida. Florida is big. You see how, think about it. Like, I look at them Texas artists, you know, the Cali artists, you know, like people in the big state, like look at D.C. Mm-hmm. artists. Like, they go to D.C., they go to Maryland, they go to V.A., then they go down to the Carolinas and stuff. Like, Florida alone, you could go to Key West, you go to
Orlando,
Tampa, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, you know, Pensacola, Gainesville. Like, we got all these college towns and stuff like that. And it's just like, I be sitting, I'm like, we here. And this is the start of it. Then we live in the South, so you go to Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Tech, all that stuff, and then you move up to the East Coast, the Midwest, to the West Coast. So, but I mean, and then we got islands too. A lot of people not tapping into like the Bahamas and Jamaica and all that. Like, that's something that's kind of shocking to me. Cause them people over there, Haiti, all of them, they listen to our music. Like, I remember, shout out to EFM, but he had like a documentary and he went to Cuba. Yeah. And one of the dudes was like, how I used to listen to 99 Jams and Power 96 back in the day, he'll get an antenna and he'll just search. And he was like, oh shit, I'm listening to Power 96, I'm listening to 99 Jams. So that's why, like, you just never know. You know, like, social media is cool, it'll take you more, but take advantage of that to take you to other places. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why everybody would tell you, like, going to Europe is different. Like, them boys still buy CDs, cassettes. They still, like, they don't just stream. Like, they actually buy your music, the hard copy, you know. So it's a lot of opportunity out here.
Just people not willing to do the homework. And it's, yeah. and that comes with the passion, bro. It's like, a lot of people not doing the homework.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell, like you can listen to artists like J. Cole and, like, you know, Jay-Z. Like, these guys are doing their homework.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Even if you rap about trap music, like, you know, like, start looking back, like, you know, when the trap started, like,
mm-hmm.
who invented trap, like, how long trap been out here. You know what I mean? Like, do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let me know, like, in your music, like, you really out here, like, okay, this nigga know what he talking about.
Yeah.
But it's all the same shit, man. It's all the same shit.
So you got any like shout outs, you got any like shows coming up that you wanna let people know before we close it up?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Shout out to Jouet Collections, man, for the jacket, man. Y'all go check them out with the apparel. Matter of fact, I got one on right now. My upcoming shows, September 5th, I'll be at Florida Atlantic University. Performing with, opening up for Desi Banks, Fat and Funny, and T.P. Miller will be there also.
Mm-hmm.
And September 8th, shout out to Moed, I'll be at I forgot the place, it'll be at NMB. I'll be performing at the Miami Entertainment Awards as well, so y'all come check me out.
That's what's up, man. Thank you for coming on the show, dog.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it, hook me up with the tickets and stuff.
Okay, well, definitely, I got you.
Come out, me and the wife come out and support, and so don't forget me when you blow up. I tell everybody that.
Never that, man. I'm a humble dude, man. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, man, it's like, I'm not really big headed. I'm really more like a down to earth type of dude. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I really, if I do really blow up, man, I really want the city to like really have my back. You know, I don't want to be the type of dude like to blow up and I'm living in LA or I'm living in, like, you know, I really want the Miami, the way Philly got Meek back, and the way LA got Nipsey back, I want Miami to have my back.
Right.
You feel me?
So, and that's what's up, dog. And shit, this been your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 96, with the homie Miami Got Jokes. And we out.
All right.